was way back in June when I received an email from Helen asking me to do today. Paraphrased, it read, I wonder how you might feel about doing a family service on Zephaniah. It's not the easiest, but I'm sure that you will come up with something. And ask yourself this same question, and you might have some idea of what I felt. The only thing I knew about Zephaniah was that he was a minor prophet. I really was starting from scratch. So I had to trust God to enable me to do this. Verse 1 of chapter 1, unsurprisingly, was a good place to start. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Well, this tells us a few things. It tells us that Zephaniah was descended from royalty, which means that he was probably reasonably well educated. It also gives us a date. King Josiah reigned 640 to 609 BC. He reigned during the last years of the Assyrian Empire and was able to throw off foreign rule. My reference books tells me the first two chapters of the book of Zephaniah was probably written early in Josiah's reign, and they are not an easy read. For Judah, this foretells a day of judgment. Now I wanted the voice of God, so the nearest I got was my tray.
The day of judgment on Judea. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will completely consume and sweep away all things from the face of the earth in judgment, says the Lord. I will consume and sweep away man and beast. I will consume and sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the stumbling blocks, idols, along with the wicked. And I will cut off and destroy man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand in judgment against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off and destroy the remnant of Baal from this place, and the names and remembrance of the idolatrous priests, along with the false priests and those who bow down and worship the hosts of heaven, the sun, the moon, and the stars on their housetops, and those who bow down and swear oaths to and pretend to worship the Lord, and yet also swear by the pagan god Milcom, and those that have turned back from following the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord as their most important need, or inquired of him. Be silent before the Lord God. There is no acceptable excuse to offer. For the day of the vengeance of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, Judea. He has set apart for his use those who have accepted his invitation, the Chaldeans who rule Babylon. Then it will come about on the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all who are clothed in lavish foreign apparel, reflecting their paganism. On that day I will also punish all those who leap over the temple threshold, who fill their pagan Lord's temple with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, there will be the sound of crying from the fish gate in the northern wall of Jerusalem, where invaders enter, and a wailing from the second quarter of the city, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail in anguish, you inhabitants of Mortar, for all the merchants of Cana will be silenced and destroyed. All who weigh out silver will be cut off. It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. In their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Furthermore, their wealth will become plunder, and their houses a desolation. Yes, they will build houses, but not live in them, and plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great judgment day of the Lord is near, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the voice of the day of the Lord. The warrior cries out bitterly, unable to fight or flee. That day is a day of the outpouring of the wrath of God, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and the battle cry of invaders against the fortified cities and against the high corner towers, their battlement. I will bring distress on men so that they will walk like the blind, unable to find a way of escape, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and trampled underfoot, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will rescue them. On the day of the Lord's indignation and wrath, and the whole earth will be consumed in the fire of his jealous wrath, for he shall make a full and complete end.
I can well understand that any 8-year-old child, being terrified of these predictions, never mind having the added responsibility of being king of the country it referred to, Josiah tried to reinstate worship in the temple in accordance with the regulations of Deuteronomy, leading the nation in a covenant renewal ceremony, pledging faithfulness to their ancestral traditions. No wonder Josiah did what he did. Unfortunately, his efforts to reform worship were largely thwarted. Zephaniah also had prophecies for the surrounding nations, and they were no comfort to Josiah either.
This is the judgment on Judah's enemies. Gather yourselves together in repentance. Yes, gather in submission, O nation without shame, before the decree takes effect and the time for repentance is lost. The day passes like the chaff whirled by the wind before the burning and fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you. Before the day of the wrath of the Lord comes upon you, seek the Lord diligently and regard him as the foremost necessity of your life. All you humble of the land who have practiced his ordinances and have kept his commandment, seek righteousness, seek humility, regard them as vital. Perhaps you will be hidden and pardoned and rescued. In the day of the Lord's anger, for this is the fate of the Philistines, Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon a desolation. The people of Ashdod will be driven out at noon in broad daylight, and Ekron will be uprooted and destroyed. Woe, judgment is coming to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites in Philistia. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you so that no inhabitant will be left. So the depopulated seacoast shall be pastures, the deserted meadows for shepherds and folds for flocks. The seacoast will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. They will pasture their flocks on it. In the deserted houses of Ashkelon in Philistia, they of Judah will lie down and rest in the evening. for the Lord their God will care for them and restore their fortune, permitting them to occupy the land. I have heard the taunting of Moab and the reviling of the sons of Ammon, with which they have taunted my people and become arrogant against their territory by violating its boundary and trying to seize their land. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Moab will in fact become like Sodom, and the sons of Ammon like Gomorrah, a land possessed by nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. A remnant of my people will plunder them, and what is left of my nation will inherit them as their own.
These two chapters are harsh reading, but regrettably they repeat a familiar theme: God's judgment on the people for neglecting their covenant faith, adopting foreign values and lifestyles, and generally ignoring their religious commitments. In saying this, we must remember that the people of Israel were God's chosen people. He had chosen them to be different to all the other nations on earth. He had said he would be with them, protect them, care for them, on condition that they followed his instructions and became a beacon of light to the surrounding nations. But they had failed, and that was why they were in the mess that they were in. The book of Zephaniah is not all doom and gloom. We believe that chapter 3 was written much later, well after 612 BC. Here is hope for the small but faithful remnant, those who would remain faithful to the Lord. The final verses are described as a song of joy. Sometimes the words destruction and hope seem poles apart, yet Zephaniah suggests that judgment will be a way of purifying the nation, burning their pride and complacency. We are told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we should ask ourselves, what do we learn from this book of the Bible written over 600 years before Christ was born? What relevance does it have for 2023 AD? I think the answer is frighteningly simple and very unpalatable. Human nature has not changed from Zephaniah's time. God is a God of holiness, and he will not let anything unholy near him. Yet as individuals, a church, a nation, and as a world, we are all unholy. As individuals, we may have all in some way or other adopted the ways and practices of the people around us, just as the people in King Josiah's time adopted the ways and practices of their surrounding nation. We may have kept most of the Ten Commandments in their basic form. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honour your father and mother. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not covet. We may have fooled ourselves into thinking that we have not envied or wanted our neighbour's possessions, but we have not fooled God. But what about the other ones? The ones that say, do not have any other gods before me. Do not make yourself an idol or worship it. How many of us can honestly say we have never ever had other gods? How many of us can say we have not made ourselves an idol and not worshipped it? We may not have carved a religious icon in wood, stone or metal, but we have other gods. Gods of money, possessions, ego and status. How do we view them? How do we view our houses and cars, wealth and status? How much importance do we attach to them? The Bible is very clear how God views misguided trust in these things. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. You shall not worship them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Talking about the sins of the fathers, and here I must be fair and add the mothers, affecting the third and fourth generations, pray for all young people, not only those connected with Lambeth Baptist Church, but those in society as a whole. Peer pressure and advertising are damaging. Advertising cigarettes may be banned, but alcohol and gambling isn't. A generation ago, trying cigarettes was classed as pushing the acceptable boundaries of society. But these days, it's more LSD and crack cocaine. This in turn leads users into a downward spiral of crime, violence, theft and murder, just to be able to obtain funds to purchase the next fix, and then the same tomorrow, and the next day, and the next. Even as a nation, we have fallen foul of the 10th commandment. We have coveted nuclear power. That is to say, because other earthly empires have a nuclear bomb, we've wanted one too, just as a deterrent, you understand, or so we are told. Now, I do not want to close on such a pessimistic thought. Instead, I want to remind you that the final 8 verses of the book of Zephaniah are described as a song of joy. It contains phrases like verse 15, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. And verse 17, he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Should the concept of God's judgment frighten and alarm us, or should it goad us into actions to witness to God's forgiveness and love to others, so that they may not fear God's judgment either? I hope and pray it is the latter.